The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house, saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard the report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, just keep trusting." He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping." They laughed at him, but he threw them all out. Then, taking the child's parents and his disciples went with him, he went into the room where the child was. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Young woman, get up." Suddenly, the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. He gave them strict orders that no one should know what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You know those Sundays when the readings are just so meaningful that they're a message all by themselves? After this morning's readings, I could say, "Well, we just had our sermon. We can move on to the Nicene Creed." Don't get too excited. It is in the bulletin for a sermon, so I will do this. I'm going to start this out with a question. Why are you here? Whether it's Good Shepherd or any other church you might frequent, attend regularly, why are you here? With all the things you could be doing today, and it's beautiful outside, the sun is shining, the weather's lovely, and you're here. Why do you get up on a Sunday morning, get dressed, and come to church? Of course, there may be someone sitting out there who says, "I don't know why I'm here. She or he talked me into it." But it may be you like how you feel when you're in church. I think a lot of people come to church seeking some kind of comfort, words that will help them get through the next week, maybe just through the next day or two, maybe through the next few hours. I have good news for you. The Comforter is here. we have the Comforter in our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in our gospel reading how Jesus healed two people, a woman who had a bleeding disorder and a child who had actually ended up dying and who Jesus brought back to life. In both situations, I love how he spoke so lovingly and comforting. To the woman, after she had touched his clothes and was healed, Jesus felt power leave him. And he says, you know, so he asks who it was. The Bible says, the scripture says, the woman full of fear and trembling came forward. Does he chastise her? Does he say, whoa, wait a minute, you can't just come up on me like that and expect to be healed so promptly? You got to set an appointment for this kind of thing, you know? No. He simply says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease. I also noticed when Jesus and the girl's father were told the girl had died, Jesus continued in the path. It didn't deter him. The path to the man's house. And when they reached it, even though there was a commotion there with people wailing and crying, he kept things calm by saying, what's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead. She's only sleeping. Then after sending everyone out of the house, only the parents and his disciples went into the room. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, young woman, get up. The girl got up and began to walk around. Jesus provides calm for those who are suffering. In the second letter to the Corinthians this morning, Paul said, God is the compassionate Father and God of all comfort. And yes, he is. Not only to those we read about in the Bible, but for us today. I know many of you have experienced his comfort, whether it's from trials of health issues, family relations, financial setbacks, spiritual needs. God is not a God who does not get involved in our suffering, is he? He is here with us. In his letter this morning, Paul said, we were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength that we were afraid we might not survive. You know that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that says, he will not give you more than you are able to bear? You need to know that is not what that verse says. Rather, that verse is talking about temptation, not a burden to bear. What it actually says is, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Our God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I bring that up so that you can understand Paul's letter better. After he says, we were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength, he goes on to say, this was so that we would have confidence in God who raises the dead instead of ourselves. God rescued us from a terrible death, and he will rescue us. How can we know it is God who's helped us through situations if the situations can be handled by us? And if we can handle it, we don't need God. We read again this morning about Saul and David. Saul originally had been anointed by God as the first king over Israel. He disobeyed God, and God brought David into the picture. Saul was jealous of David and tried to kill him. After many attempts upon David's life, David still recognized and honored Saul as God's anointed king over Israel. Throughout the many times that David felt forsaken and in danger, he would turn to God. Many of the Psalms tell of his pain and how he cries out to the Lord. And we read many of his Psalms, such as in Psalm 3, where he says, "Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are standing against me. So many are talking about me. Even God won't help him. Selah. But you, Lord, are my shield. You are my glory. You are the one who restores me." David received comfort many times from the Lord. "Okay, Cindy, I understand that God is my comfort. And I do thank him and I praise him for the many times he's brought me through so many trials and hardships in my life. So is there more?" Yes. After Paul said, "He is the compassionate Father and God of all comfort," he continued with a very special mission. He said, "He, God, is the one who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble." And Paul continues, "We offer the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. So if we have trouble, it is to bring you comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is to bring you comfort." And it goes on. The trials you and I have experienced in our lives and the comfort and peace you and I have received through these trials allow us to understand someone else who's going through trials. And as we have received comfort, we are to comfort others. David put this into practice when he received news of the death of Saul and Jonathan. He grieved for both of them. Jonathan and David had been best of friends. Saul was the hero to so many in Israel, and the nation needed comfort. So David, with his gift of writing psalms and songs, we read this morning the lamentation or funeral song that he wrote. God had comforted David many times, and David passed that comfort on to others who needed it at that time. Suffering is a reality of life. I know it's a negative subject. We don't like to talk about this, but it is reality. Only heaven is free of suffering. In the meantime, we, our loved ones and our friends, will suffer and hurt. And those in our sphere of influence will experience pain, some more severely than others. There will be times when it will be our turn to be comforted. And there are times when it will be our role to do the comforting. Those who have experienced comfort know how valuable this is, don't we? Now, I know somehow we feel we're not supposed to talk about the pain and the hardships that we feel, but only about the comfort and the peace that God has provided us. But suffering and pain is part of our story. It's a part of our story, along with the comfort and peace. And sharing our story with others who are suffering and in pain might be the only way they can understand the comfort that God has for them when they look to him and hold his hand. So many times, we are the instrument God uses to bring others who are suffering to him. They hear our stories. They comprehend that we understand them, and oh, they need to be understood. Through that, we, figuratively, reach out our hand to them, and they trust us, and they take our hand. And then we are able to place their hand into the hand of God so that He can provide them the comfort and the healing that they really need. We might not be able to fix their situation, but we can give them love and comfort. God will do the rest. And sometimes they just need someone to lean on. I remember heading to work one morning many years ago, and I received a call from my mom. She said, "Cindy, I'm in trouble. I need you." So I went over there and realized I needed to call 911. So while we're waiting for the ambulance, we're sitting side by side on her bed, and she leans over and puts her head on my shoulder, and we pray. Could I fix her problem? No. But she had someone who she could lean on for that in that moment, and that was her last trip to the hospital. Your conversation might not be that severe. Perhaps it's someone who's had surgery recently. Maybe they're having a family relation situation. Maybe depression, anxiety attacks. It could be most of anything. Do you know what to do in those circumstances? Maybe not. But you know who does. And you've learned to trust Him. With your situations, you know He is trustworthy. And you might not even need to say a word. Sometimes just being present is healing of its own, the comfort that someone needs. There's a story I shared a while back, and it's worth repeating. There was an elderly, despondent woman living in a nursing home. She wouldn't speak to anyone. She would never ask anyone for anything, let her requests be known. She merely existed in a rocking chair in her room, just rocking back and forth. And every couple days, there was a young nurse who would go to visit her. She realized that there wasn't anyone visiting this lady, hardly ever. So she would go into the old woman's room, never ask questions, never have conversation. She'd just pull up a rocking chair and sit down next to her, and together they would rock. Just rock. And a few weeks later, the woman finally spoke. And she said, "Thank you," with tears in her eyes. "Thank you for rocking with me." The Comforter is here. He is the compassionate Father and God of all comfort. He's the one who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort others who are in every kind of trouble. What a beautiful mission that is.